They all talk a little wonders. Parashas Matas, we find the concept of a tnai. Now, what is a tnai? What a tnai is a condition that derived from the agreement that the B'nai God and B'nai Ruvain made with Moshe Rabbeinu. All kinds of rules. A tnai has to be kofu. You've got to say both sides. The fact that you said one and the other side is obvious doesn't make a difference. There's even an order. So there's an obvious kasha that everybody asks. And anyone that doesn't should. When there's an agreement is based on the fact that there's an agreement, that there's a meeting of minds. The halacha with regard to a tnai is that if you incorrectly phrased your tnai, if you left out one of the rules that we learned from this parasha, the B'nai God and the B'nai Ruvain, then the conditions are gone, and it's as if you made an unconditional agreement. Or what you never agreed to. Or what you never wanted. Although everyone around you would say otherwise. How's that? Does it really mean that when you only state one side of a condition, we don't really think that you thought it through? And you really meant that this agreement was unconditional? So why do you say it all for fun? That's not what we're talking about. What is it that these conditions are all about anyway? What issues do they apply to? They apply to a community, when there's an acquisition, something for the future as well. When a community is made that will place responsibility on one party for the future or maybe both. The concept kinyan includes kiddushin. We know the first part of what may be called the ceremony of that which creates marriage is a kinyan, a giving of something worth money, customarily arranged. But what makes it work is not the fact that it's a ring, but the fact that it's worth something. And there are two other conditions. And if you don't make the proper condition, then it takes effect, although you said otherwise. So how does it work? The intent was conditional. But because it was not spoken out in the proper way, the conditions are gone, and it's as if the agreement was made unconditional. How does it work? The basic idea is the fact that the human being has the ability to create realities. We find this at the very beginning of the parsha, the concept of a neder. One can create a situation of isur. He can make something forbidden to himself. What does that mean? He doesn't just know, I took a vow, I can't do it. It means that one has the ability to create a reality whereby not only are the things that we find in the pasuk not good for your soul, the Torah has a list of all the non-kosher foods. Not only are they bad for your soul, you can create one too. You can create a need for your soul. In this case, by way of speech. Acquisition too means creating realities. I often bring up, just for people to appreciate, the fact that the same Gemara that tells us that 40 days before Yetzirah Havad, 40 days before the formation of a child, there's an announcement of who's going to marry whom, and what property will he acquire? What property he'll acquire? Acquisition, there's a reality to it. Just in case the concept of what's ethical and moral doesn't affect you, it doesn't move you, recognize that when you take something that's not yours, you're making a mess on every level of existence. You're invading something that is part of another human being's being. We create realities. An act of acquisition creates a reality. And if we don't know what we're doing, sometimes we create realities that are larger than the ones we wanted to. You pressed all the buttons. You did everything that's necessary to create the reality. But you like to make it conditional. Were it not for the fact that we find the parsha in the Torah of making something conditional, a condition would not work in the first place. You can't press the button and say, but I only want it to work under the following circumstances. You press the button. The Torah teaches us that there's a concept of a tanai. Another button. With its rules. I think there's a certain kind of naivety, innocence, and perhaps an unwillingness to face the harsh realities of existence. Deep down, we all believe that it's the thought that counts. And what's important is really to be good. What's important is to mean well. This parsha teaches us that life is full of realities. And good intentions are nice. But reality is dictated by what you do. And the fact that you don't know what's going on does not work in your favor. existence is a complicated place. Existing. It's not a free-for-all. There are realities. Chao writes, we all walk around with an awareness that one day we're going to have to account for our actions. And yet, as simple as it is, we tend to ignore that. He talks about the different reasons for it, and essentially what it boils down to is that's what the Yetzer Hara is all about. We were created with free will, we were created with the ability to deny, so that we can get the reward for not denying. I believe that especially in this day and age, because of the influence of other religions, and perhaps influence of the world that has become more open-minded, more accepting, and more simplistic. Deep down, we've got the attitude that it is the thought that counts. It's so nice to learn. It's so nice to be able to develop the skills where you can actually feel that you understand what's going on, where you ask good kashas and sometimes even find good answers. It's so nice. But nice is not enough. Understand that we dwell in a world that is full of buttons. The buttons are not labeled. It's a matter of figuring things out. There are buttons that destroy and there are buttons that build. There are switches that do major damage. And others that create wonderful realities for all of eternity. And it's all mystery. Until one learns to understand the will of Hashem in the form of Torah, the study of reality, the study of what creates and what destroys, with all the fine tuning, and you got to do things right. It's the thought that counts, and with all good intentions. We can think we're building, and we're destroying. We can even state it clearly, but there are realities. And most of the world doesn't even know. And even more heartbreaking is the fact that most of the Jews don't know. We are very powerful. Speech creates, and action creates, inaction creates. At times thoughts create. We are so powerful. We can affect every level of existence. In the way Hashem created, in that endless chesed of Hashem, He created in a way whereby His existence which is existence itself has the ability to be enhanced by us. We can affect the highest levels of existence. He gave us that kind of opportunity. That's the real chesed, the greatness of it. We do things in this world and we don't realize how much we're affecting. We're creating realities. And there's so much detail. There's so much perfection. We're so powerful. We can do so much and we can destroy so much. Whether we know what we're doing or not. And the more you know, the more you can really decide. Until that point, we have feelings, we have intentions. But when we know, we can create realities. The whole Sefer Nefesh HaChayim is built on this concept. He wrote in reaction to a particular form of the thought that counts. Jews that, in his eyes, were less concerned with the rules and more concerned with the intent. Deep down we have to ask ourselves, have we not been affected by that? He even takes it to areas of life like davening. If there's any situation where you would say all that counts is your thoughts, all that counts is your feelings, and the truth is it's obvious. Why is it that there's a standard text to the Shmona Esrei? Get up and talk your heart, which is a good thing to do anyway. But apparently that's not enough. That doesn't do it. Even in doing chesed, there's halacha. There are rules. Obviously, without the feelings, the chesed is so much less meaningful. But without the rules, it could be destructive. We like freedom. Over the generations, man has become more and more lazy. Life has become so much more convenient than it used to be. And we don't like rules. And democracy is in, because in very simple terms, democracy means I can do what I feel like. It is the people's expression of not wanting the burden of listening to somebody else's rules. It sounds like we're eternally the dullest teenagers. Torah teaches us that we grow up. There are consequences. Everything we do creates a reality. And for all of eternity, you're going to have to live with that reality. You got to learn the rules. You have to think. You have to think about everything. And there are no days off. Days, there are no minutes off. Everything creates a reality. Everything's heavy. There are consequences to everything we do. Words aren't cheap. You never know what they're going to cost you. You're responsible for what you say and for what you don't say, and how you say it. Everything creates realities. We are so powerful. Tnu oz l'Elokim, Hashem says. Give him strength. Create more greatness in existence. You have the ability to do so. Hashem begs Adam HaRishon, don't destroy my beautiful world that is not limited to the trees. The issue is not ecology. The totality of existence and all the spheres is so much more beautiful than a tree. And a tree is actually part of that. If people are worried about whales, and they're worried about trees, the whole of existence is in danger. Because humanity is unaware that so many of the things they are doing with good intentions are polluting the highest levels of existence. And for eternity, we may have to pay for that. And we have the ability to reverse that. That's the power of human action. That's the neder, and that's the tnai, that's the kinyan. Hashem created many tools for us. Mitzvahs, with details of mitzvahs. The world is full of buttons. If you know what you're doing, you can create a greater reality for all. And of course, for ourselves, a wonderful state of eternity. Hashem gave us so much power.